Welcome to Hope Chapel. You're about to listen to Andrew Cole.
So we're going to talk about, we've been talking about covenants for those that have been with us for the last 6 weeks. We've been talking about covenants, and on Friday we talked about the new covenant. Well, today, guess what I'm going to talk about? Okay, sure. Talking about living in the new covenant. Everyone turn to the person next to you and say, living. Living in the new covenant, resurrection power. What's happened? Oh, wow. Permanent. Sorry. Things happen. I'm very slow. Living in the new covenant, resurrection power, permanent presence. And are you ready? Radical freedom. Sometimes we hear the word radical and it means it can conjure up some sort of unruliness or other things that aren't so good. But Jesus was radical. He turned things upside down. He brought something, a different way to live. Christianity used to be called the way, and it was symbolized by, you know, the fish. But it used to be called the way. And the reason it was called the way, it was another way to live. You know, I almost wish it was always still that. Because Christianity, I don't know, has a great reputation. But I like the word the way, that we can live a different way. We may be a part of this world, but we can live a different way, God's way. So that's, I would prefer that. So if you want to call it the way from now on, feel free. You might get a few looks. But Easter declares that death has lost its sting. I'm just going to remind you this morning of a bunch of things. And I want you to grab hold of them this morning and make them your own. And for some of you, it might be just reminding you of the covenant you're now living in. For some, it might be completely new. So for some, you have no idea what I'm talking about. All of those are okay. And if I can help you after the service, please let me know. But so I want to make these statements and these remarks and these thoughts, and I'm going to quote some scripture, so at least there's some, hopefully even in context. But I want you to grab hold of it and be reminded of it this morning, and you're allowed to get a little bit excited as well. Is that all right? Because some of this stuff is so true and so releasing and so free that sometimes I reckon we grow familiar with the life that we now live. Sometimes I think we grow familiar with the freedom that we can live in. And we bind ourselves up with these silly things that hold us back. And yet Christ came and died and was resurrected to set you free from some of these things. So let's walk in this. Let's walk and live in the new covenant. So God lost its thing and God initiated a new way of relating to us or being in relationship with us, not by law or distance, but by life. I like that. Not by law, not by distance, but by life. The resurrected life of Jesus. So I'm going to share three realities of the new covenant that change our identity, our power, and our mission. So the first is covenant identity. Turn to the person next to you and say, identity. You are included forever. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Who is thankful for that? Who lives in the new? Come on. We slip back here. Yeah? We slip back into the old sometimes because we forget that we live as a new creation. We forget that we live set free. We forget that we don't have these bondages that are around our, and shackles around our legs anymore. But sometimes we just feel that they're still there and we act like they're still there. But you know what? Jesus comes to set you free. Every captive has been set free. We are no longer a slave to anything in our old life. We are living, breathing in a new way of living. The new covenant removes the barrier of guilt and exclusion. And through Jesus, we are not guests hoping for permission. We are family seated at the Father's table. Resurrection proves God's irreversible investment in you, his pursuit for you. He raised Jesus and raised your destiny with him. He raised Jesus and he also raised your destiny with him. In Romans 6 verse 4, the second part of that verse says, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. The cross and resurrection didn't only cancel sin, they repositioned us. The cross and the resurrection didn't only cancel sin, but they repositioned your life. Resurrection is God's stamp that you are no longer defined by failure, but by final victory. Jim's favorite saying is that we fight from a place of victory, not to victory, because the victory has already been won. The victory has already happened. Jesus said on the cross, as I reminded you on Friday, that it is finished. There is nothing more after this. It is done. There is nothing more needed to be done. Now it's up to you to live in it. It's up to me to live in it, because you are now free. So resurrection is God's stamp. You are stamped by God today. In the Old Testament, when there was people had slaves, they used to put an oar through the ear of slaves, and it was called being earmarked. That you were owned by this person, by this group, and they had to drive this thing. You still see them around the place now. You know, they have earlobes about this big. You can get a dinner plate in them. But I don't think it was for the same reason. But back then, it was a sign that, one, you're a slave, but you're a slave to that person. Well, in a spiritual sense, it's not that we're a slave to Jesus, but we've been bought with a price. And that resurrection is God's stamp on your life, that you are no longer defined by our failures, but by the final victory. Your spiritual status is settled, adopted, redeemed, and a co-heir. Identity is now rooted in union with Jesus, not in performance or past mistakes. It doesn't matter what you do, you can't earn this. You can't earn anything like this because it's a free gift. It's up to us to live in what has been given. Begin each day from your new position. Meditate on Romans 6, 4, that you were buried and then raised. And speak declarations of who you are in Christ. Let identity reshape decisions, your relationships and mission. As some of you know, I've been on a journey about identity. It's only taken me a few years. I became a Christian in 1987. And I'm still trying to work out some things. But there was a deeper thing going on in my life about my upbringing, about my name, about who I was, about where I was born and what country I'm there for a citizen of. And when I become an Australian citizen, it's changed my perspective on things. It gave me a deeper understanding that now I'm a citizen of heaven, of what that means and the privilege and the honour that that is. As I said when I to some of you the other week, I voted the other day for the first time. I'm only 41 and it's the first time I voted. And I must admit, I would like to change the attitude towards voting. Because when you go in there, it's just like, I don't want to vote. I too was a bit like that. I had to stand up for 45 minutes. But as I was there, I found a bit of a spring in my step. It was only a little one. It's just a little spring in my step. I'm thinking, this is pretty cool. So I wanted to get all the pamphlets, you know, just because that's what you do. But so I go in there and this guy was talking to me and he was really chipper. He was really upbeat. And I said, how long have you been? He goes, 6 hours. I said, that's great. I said, you're doing a great job. I said, this is my first time voting. He goes, oh, really? He said, well, congratulations. I said, I know. That's great. So I'm having this to-ing and fro-ing with him about this, and this is really cool. So I go to my booth, feeling, you know, like, how good is this? I get my own booth. They give me a pencil. I got this big, long bit of paper, and I'm thinking, I have no idea what I'm going to do here. I was looking to vote for one for Jesus, but I couldn't find him on there. But when I got in there, I must admit, I shed a tear. No one would have seen it because they would have thought I was just being pained by having to vote. But it was a tear of joy, of privilege and honour. And I started to remember this journey about whose I was, about where I belong and what Christ meant for me, what being a citizen of heaven was all about, plus being a citizen of a country. It was so amazing. So it's brought this stuff back really fresh to me about who I am. My identity is founded and grounded in Christ. He gave me something that I didn't have before. Now, not all of you may be able to relate to that. Your families may have been brilliant and you've got much heritage and generational lineage of all sorts of things in your lives, which God bless you for that. And you ought to thank God for that because this doesn't happen to everyone. Where mine was mixed and split and separated and all sorts of things. So you grow up losing. It was so bad that when we moved to the country when I was in grade 3, I had a different name. And when I got out of the car, my mum said, oh, by the way, it's a brand new school, right? It's just what they did back then. So it's not actually dissing my mum, it's just what you did back then. So we got out of the car and I was in grade 3. And as I was getting out to go into a brand new school that I haven't been in, I was going in there by myself. And she goes, oh, by the way, you're no longer Andrew Cole. You're now such and such. Okay. Never asked the question. Walked into this school. They knew my new name before I did. So I said, okay, is that you? Yes, it is. That's me. So I lost my original identity right there. I didn't even know the impact until years later. So to fight for my name was one thing, but then to understand that when I became a Christian, when I started exploring my faith, they said that you're part of a family now. Oh, it was a pain to some people, the Hilditches, I'd hang around them like a bad smell. Like they had family, Les and Faye. They had family. I pined for this family that I felt that I never had. But they were all so welcoming, but God did some amazing things in me. And he told me, he showed me what a father was. I know people struggle with parenting and fathering and mothering, all sorts of things. But I found where my father is. My father's in heaven. My father is my God. And he took me on and adopted me and brought me in. And it's this day that we celebrate that. So I can live in that new covenant. So it runs deep with me about identity. So if you've lost your identity, please don't try and find it elsewhere. There's only one place that you'll find your true identity. It's in Jesus. That's exactly right. Your worth and your calling no longer hinge on performance. Fear or striving. They rest on union with Christ. You walk from insecurity into authority as a beloved child. Replace shame-driven performance with identity-driven obedience. Begin each day declaring, as simple as this, that I belong to Jesus. You know, forget all the arty... Oh, I can't say that. The arty party words around that, and just simply say, I belong to Jesus. Because Jesus requires us just to be real and authentic. I'm not a wordsmith. So he understands when I say, I belong to you, Jesus. You might use other words, that's also fine. He can take you for where you're at. The second is covenant presence. Turn to the person next to you and say, presence. I'm glad you said it that way as well. God lives with us intimately and permanently. In John 14, verse 16, he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Good, Hudson. Well done. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. The new covenant brings God's Holy Spirit, not as a temporary helper, but as God's abiding presence. The resurrected Christ sends the Spirit to indwell us, guide us, teach, and empower us continually. This presence transforms ordinary moments into holy divine appointments. You will never be alone in trials, decisions, or your mission. The same resurrection life that raised Jesus is at work in your thoughts, your choices, and your relationships. Invite the Spirit of God, God's Holy Spirit, into decisions, conflicts, and dreams. Ezekiel 36, 26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. The new covenant ushers, in God's indwelling presence by the Spirit. It's a heart transformation. We've been on it this the last few weeks. It's a heart transformation, not merely external rules. The Spirit writes God's laws on your hearts and dwells within us as teacher, as guide and power. The veil is torn, access is continual. Again, I say that you will never face temptation, sorrow, or mission alone. You can choose that, but you don't have to. You can choose that, but you don't have to. Claire's testimony was one of that, that you can choose to go and isolate and be alone. Or, what did I say? Emma. The one thing the enemy wants to do is isolate you. In your sorrow, in your pain, in your temptation, even in your mission of life. Because once you're isolated, he silences you. Once you're silenced, you're right, he wins. But this day is about resurrection. This day is about living in a new covenant, being a part of a family, being part of something that can push the kingdom forward, can give you the power and the authority you need to stand up against the things that once enslaved you, that no longer have to, that no longer have the power to. But we choose sometimes to forget that. It doesn't matter if you're a brand new Christian here this morning, if you're not even a Christian here this morning, but there'll be Christians here that have been here for 20, 30, 40 years, and we still forget some of those things. The reason I know we can forget about them sometimes is because I hear some of the things that go wrong in our lives. It shows me that we have forgotten that we're living in a new covenant, that we're free and we're set free, that we no longer have this shackle around our ankles, that we are completely free. Because who the Son sets free is? Absolutely. Covenant power. This is the last one. You are free to live and to release life. Ephesians 1:19 says, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. The new covenant is resurrection power in operation. Not only forgiveness, but the capacity to overcome sin, fear, and death's claims. It will always keep shouting at you. It will always keep coming back at you, saying, you don't have, you don't have, you don't have. But let me tell you, you do have. Christ's life in us empowers bold witness, healing, and compassionate risk. The power transforms the lack into generosity, timidity or fear into prophetic boldness. Miracles and transformations are no longer pipe dreams, but expected fruit of a covenant life. We spoke about this a few years ago. We are called to be fruitful. It is rare in the Bible if there is barrenness or lack of fruit. What there is fruitful lives. Just read the first part of Matthew. Look at all the generations there. We are fruitful. Go and multiply. God has ordained you and set you that you shall be fruitful. Being unfruitful is not of God, I don't believe. Your testimony, the testimonies that we heard, Revelation talks about that you shall be an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb, Christ resurrected, and the word of your testimony, your story, your God stories. We heard some God stories this morning by Claire and by Emma. We heard some God stories from Leanne this morning. With great pain, she sees the life. Where even you might find, well, what's the youth one got to do with it? The youth one's got to do with it is because they were persevering. They were being faithful, 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 and fruit will come. Talia, just saying yes. Sometimes that's all that's needed is to say yes. They are your God stories. We all have them. They're all powerful. And when you say yes to God, God does some amazing things in your life. When you share your God story, it helps others. You release life into others. It helps others say, if they can do that. And that's all it took. That's all it took. Talia's here and they're getting married all because she said yes. Come on. Your testimony pulls others into covenant reality. It's the power to overcome. If the guys can come up now. Move in faith. Pray audaciously. Serve sacrificially. And take concrete risks to release life. Pray for the sick. Forgive the offender. Give beyond comfort. Expect resurrection results. Not demand, but expect. This Easter, don't settle for being impressed by what happened 2,000 years ago. Be invaded by what happened for you. Receive your covenant identity. Invite God's abiding presence and activate resurrection power in your sphere, in your world. Make a stand. Declare, by Christ I am forgiven and I am with God and I will release his life. Go and live the new covenant and watch a dry world resurrect around you. What we have in us, what you have in this new covenant, in this Christ resurrected power, that may sound a bit strange if you've never heard this before. It may even sound strange even if you've been in church all your life. But the power within you can change the world. The power within you can change the world. More importantly, it can change your world. So let's make a stand. Let's declare the goodness of God. Let's declare all this morning, all that we've been singing about, all that we've been talking about is God's grace, his amazing grace. So thank you for listening. Thanks for coming out. We have got some amazing hot cross buns out there after the service. Please hang around for that, or the 11 o'clock people will eat them all. But on a serious note, if there is something that you want to inquire about from this weekend, you might have attended both services, or there's something that's been on your heart, you might be brand new here, and there's something that has just triggered something in you, I would love to be able to talk with you or pray for you afterwards. There's no pressure, but I would love the opportunity to help you on your faith journey, because you will never regret it. So God bless you and have a fantastic rest of your day.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message this week.